One of the toughest calls you'll ever make as a pastor and a boss is to fire someone, to let someone go, to move someone off your staff, not because they've resigned, but because you have taken the proactive decision that their time is finished. In my time of leading our church, I fired four people. One was an instant dismissal, and even talking about it today, it's nearly 20 years ago, I feel quite sober and somber. When my associate pastor was caught in unconscionable behavior and was fired instantly off our staff. The other three firings were dismissals of letting people go, realizing that they'd come to the end of their journey on our staff. But again, I had to take the proactive initiative to make that happen. Hi, John Finkelder here from Grow a Healthy Church. Welcome to the Build a Leadership Pipeline series. And in these few episodes, we're talking about staff issues, staff members, because there's no doubt that some people are serving voluntarily in your church will become staff members. They become an excellent pool of staff members who work with you to advance the cause of Christ. Today's episode, I'm going to give you six tips that you can utilize when it comes to dismissing someone, letting someone go, or if it's an instant dismissal of firing someone, you're fired if you like. No, you won't like. They won't like either. It's not a pleasant process. But I'm going to give you six tips to help you move through that process. I'm going to show you how to approach this and also make the tough calls, the necessary calls, ultimately. And last, I've got a resource for you that I think will help you in building a leadership pipeline. We often avoid letting people go because we're trying to be kind. We're trying to be a Christian. And sometimes it's also because we have trouble admitting that, you know what? Maybe we just hired the wrong person. Maybe we came upon this process pretty quickly and went, oh no, I've made a bad decision here. Or maybe over the course of a period of time, the person who's been with you a number of years has just reached their ceiling, their capacity. They can't go to the next stage of development for themselves and for you. And I think often in those situations, one of the kindest things you can actually do, painful, but it's a kind thing to say, look, I think your time here is done. It's time for you to move to another place. I think also we can fret too much about the consequences of dismissing or letting a staff member go. Now, if you've got an instant dismissal situation like I faced when we had to fire an associate pastor, that had deep and long-lasting ramifications for a number of years in our church. However, I think letting a staff person go because you've come to the realization, even if they haven't, that their time is done. I think most congregational members just go with the flow on that. And I don't think it is as big an upheaval as it possibly could be in other scenarios. But you'll have to judge that according to who the staff member is, their power base, their influential base, and the impact that's going to have. But I don't think if a staff member needs to finish, I don't think a primary cause of concern for you should be the congregation's response and reaction. Should not be number one in your thinking. Okay, here are six tips to help you fire someone, let someone go. Firstly, check the facts thoroughly, especially if it's going to be a dismissal related to issues of integrity or character or incompetence. You want to be on solid ground when you bring an accusation, if it is an accusation or an allegation, or you're bringing facts to bear on their incompetency, on their inability to do the work. You want to make sure you've got all your story lined up. Only a fool makes a decision on half a story. Make sure your facts are thoroughly checked, especially in the case of an instant dismissal. Number two, always go the second mile. Now, in the three scenarios where people were let go, not the one instant dismissal I talked about. You don't go the second mile when behavior is unconscionable. But with other staff members, we went the second mile with all of those three staff members. I allowed them to kind of work along, try and shape them up, disciple them, trying to move them into higher capacity, try and help them out where necessary, give them leave, give them some kind of stress leave, give them a bit of a break from the burden of the work, or really disciple them, mentor, walk with them very closely to really overmanage them, to help them grow in their capacity and their skill. I always wanted to look back on my time of leading staff with the view that I'd always gone the second mile with everyone who was a staff member, because working in a church staff environment is not always easy. It's quite challenging. The complexity that we talked about in the last episode, that complexity of the various relational contexts, is quite hard to do. And also, we've got our heart and our soul sewn into this environment. We're not working for a bank or a plumber. This is a completely different situation. And I kind of feel like, you know what, people deserve their pastor, their boss, going the second mile to help them get through the competency or skill or attitude scenarios they've got. Thirdly, always be honest with the staff member. Before you kind of get to that stage of saying, we can't keep you any longer, work with them and give them very clear expectations. Clarify the outcomes that you want. Don't base this on just someone else's observation. Now, if you're in a mega church with 100 staff, of course you're going to rely on other people's observations. But your normative church size, you, as a pastor and a boss, you've got to watch and have a look and see what the sort of changes are, so that when you're talking with people and being honest with them and saying, look, we can't keep going like this. I remember with one of my staff members, a wonderful, wonderful man, came out into our office for the annual review and went through his performance for the year, and he'd had a bad year. He really had not performed. He really had slackened off. He hadn't done the things that he was meant to be doing. We talked about it through the year, as I do with my regular catch-ups. At the end of the year, I said to him, look, this can't go on. I want you to stay on staff. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to do well in serving the Lord. You're a key member of our staff. I love you. You're a wonderful man. However, you can't keep performing at this level. It has to shift. It has to change. And we talked. I gave him very clear expectations and outcomes of what I wanted. You know what happened the next year? He lifted. He shifted. He changed. Fabulous. Going the second mile. Worked brilliantly with him, and I get to keep a fantastic staff member. Number four, always act in accordance with the law of your land, the law of your nation, whatever the industrial relations, requirements, and compliance are in your land. Make sure you know them and act in accordance with them. Otherwise, you may have a staff member suing you for unfair dismissal. That goes on today in the workplace. Always act legally. Number five, outline any expectations you have. When you're going the second mile with a staff member, outline your expectations in writing. A blunt pencil is better than a sharp memory. Love that proverb. Wish I'd written it myself. Don't know who wrote it, but a blunt pencil is better than a sharp memory. Always outline the outcomes, the expectations, the KPIs, whatever you want to call them, the targets you want that person to achieve, either attitudinally or related to ministry activities. Put them in writing and make sure you're signed off, they're signed off, you're in agreement of what is expected. Number six, when it comes to letting someone go, act. Bring them into your office and say to them, we've been having discussions over the last X number of weeks and months about your performance, and I'm afraid it's not working out. We're going to have to let you go. You'll finish up in the next week. And in fact, if you we want to do a send-off for you, we want to honor you and appreciate you. And I understand that this is a challenging conversation, but we've made our decision. Myself with the board of elders have made the decision, and we need to finish up. We expect that that will take maybe a number of weeks to give you plenty of notice. However, if you want to finish up early, that's more than acceptable to us as well. However, we do want to have a staff function with you to bless you and thank you and appreciate you for all you've done. And that's the conversation you have. And it's not lengthy. You don't get emotional. You don't engage with, but, I want to stay. I don't want to leave. I need this job. We've made our decision. That decision is final and will not be changed. And finish the conversation. If they get overwhelmed and emotional, leave them in your office, go for a walk, tell them, look, I'll give you some space, hang here as long as you need. Go for a walk yourself, because you will feel emotional as well, but you don't get emotional in the meeting. Let them have some tissues ready. Let them get emotional. Let them say a couple of things if they want to, but shut down the conversation pretty quickly and move on. Also, a little tip related to this, do this conversation late in the day. Now, that'll be difficult for you because you've got to live with that. You've got to work like it's normal. But I would do these conversations late in the day. That was always my choice. If I could do them around 3:30, 4 o'clock and have the conversation, leave them in my office if they needed that time. If they didn't, that's fine. But I would say to them, why don't you go home? Just go home. It's fine. You don't need to hang around. Grab your bag, grab your gear, and just head off, and we'll talk further tomorrow, which I always do. If they didn't have a day in the office the next day, I'd always call them the next day. Or if they came into the office the next day, I'd bring them in and have a chat. So always do the follow-up chat. It's part of your action process. Well, this is a really complex and challenging. This is tough decisions, hard decisions that you have to make. And this will tear at your pastor's heart. But as a boss, you may have to do this. And I hope over your pastoral journey, you don't get to do this. But like me, you might have the occasion to do this. And I hope this episode has helped you. So a resource to help you building your leadership pipeline, I've written a book called 27 Ways to Build a Leadership Pipeline. There's a link in the notes. Check out the link. Check out the book. You may want to buy a bundle of those for your team to read it together. It'll give you something in writing that you can have, as well as this series on that you're enjoying, I know. Well, I hope you are enjoying. If you're not subscribed to the series yet, you may have just found this episode randomly. Subscribe to the whole series. I know it will be a great help to you in building a leadership pipeline. God bless you.